Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game looks like it's going to be another gorgeous day in our city as we sit here downtown at Pete and Terry's Tavern. You know what that means. It means the Predators are back home at Bridgestone Arena. And tonight it'll be the Boston Bruins, a team they've already faced and beaten in Boston not too long ago on a recent road trip. So the Bruins in town tonight, and then the Predators will be back out on the road again starting Thursday night at the United Center in Chicago. Darren McFarland, that's me. Chase McCabe.
Hello.
That's him.
How are we doing?
I don't know if he's here. He's kind of here. He's about 75%. You know what?
I'm here. I'm going to bring it today. I'm ready to rock. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's go.
All right. With that being said, let's head to Clemson. Let's find out a little bit more about the Tigers. They have a national championship game on Monday. Oh, is that not where we're going today?
It's a joke, people. It's a joke. It's a joke.
People are like, oh, I'm tweeting those guys. What are you talking about, man? There's other stuff going on in this town. Hold your tweets, okay? Just hold them. It's a joke. That's not where we're going today. Robbie Stanley, NHL.com. He's got a fantastic beard. He's Ryan Ellis's brother. Yep. Not biological, but they kind of look alike. He is here at the table with us. Robbie, how you doing?
I'm good, boys. It's good to be back with you.
Pull that microphone really close to
you.
So
the people can hear you.
So everybody can hear what you have to say, because I want them to hear your words.
They should be able to hear my words.
Well, are you going to say the official, now that it's officially
official?
Would you
just settle down?
No.
Just settle
down.
Say it.
The people want to know.
Settle down.
No.
Okay?
Not going to do it.
Jeez. Act like you've been there before. Oh, wait a minute.
Wow.
I'm trying to get to the point. People want you to get to the point, not beat around the bush.
Oh,
so just
Chase,
get there.
My goodness. If you're just learning this right now at the start of our show, then congratulations on the rock you've been sleeping on under since 5:35 yesterday afternoon. My goodness. Like, everybody doesn't know who's listening to the show what the hell has happened in this market
they
since 5:35.
You've been in this business a long time. You know that people.
And let me just say this, because I haven't had the chance to talk, and I know you have a lot yesterday after the show. But I was absolutely – and if you follow me on Twitter, then those reactions were not just be funny. I mean, that was my true raw emotion at 5:35 yesterday when I learned – just like 99% of the city learned yesterday, that Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy had been shown the door. I was absolutely stunned, and my GIFs explained my emotions right there for the first 25 minutes of just sitting there staring at a wall going, wow, because I just – and I know because I've talked to a lot of fans, I've had a lot of private conversations, and – Chase and I talked about thanking a lot of the fans, because we sat in Dallas's airport. We got there quite early, and we had many hours to kill, and a lot of fans came up and talked to us, and it killed some great time. So it was like fantastic. We didn't even realize we were sitting there for hours because we were having awesome conversations with Predators fans talking about their Winter Classic experience. And, of course, the conversations would get to what's going on with this team. And so I understand a lot of fans were saying it was time for a coaching change. I certainly get that. But if you're asking me my professional opinion and being around this team on a daily basis, if on January 5th the head coach was going to get shown the door, I would have told you emphatically no. Does that mean it wasn't going to happen at some point? That's not what I was saying. But if you're telling me on January 5th, yesterday, that was going to happen, I would have said no chance, okay? I understand the way you feel, but it's not going to happen. Other things may happen, but it's not going to happen. Clearly, I was wrong. So I sat there for 30 minutes in a fog. I could not believe that had actually happened. So since I haven't talked to, I haven't talked to either one of you on the air, Robbie, what was your initial reaction?
I had similar thoughts. I mean, you know, David Poile, this is not typically how he operates. He's typically a guy that, you know, likes to wait for the big picture to fully take fold. It's no coincidence he's been a GM for almost 40 years, and he's been through like five coaches. Like, it's not a coincidence that's been the case. So I was very surprised that the move was made when it was made. Now, having said that, I've kind of been advocating for a couple weeks now that this system has some problems, and until it gets fixed, this team ain't going anywhere.
Look, I thought your tweet was it Sunday night?
Sunday night.
I got to be honest. I mean, there was a lot I agree with. I mean, I thought that was a very candid and honest tweet from you late Sunday night / early Monday morning, whenever you officially put that out there. And if you want to tell people what you said, I mean, I think you were hinting like, hey, this thing is starting to look broken.
Yeah, well, I was basically –
I'm paraphrasing,
yeah,
obviously.
Like I basically said, you know, it was after the second period where the Predators just were getting shelled by the Anaheim Ducks. And it was just more of the same of what we've seen all season long from this group. And the team just looked to me like they were a car stuck in the mud spinning their tires. It didn't look like they were getting anywhere. And I said, you know, it's probably time for the Predators to have some honest conversations with themselves internally about what this team is and what the future of it's going to be. Now, they didn't know that 12 hours later or 24 hours later they'd fire their coach. But the system, to me, it's not a coincidence. You know, Mikael Granlund comes here. He's a 60-point guy in Minnesota. And all of a sudden, it looks like he's forgotten how to play hockey. Kyle Turris comes here. He's not as productive as he was in Ottawa. Wayne Simmonds last year. I mean, you can go on and on with these examples about why this has been the case. And I think, you know, I think Peter Laviolette's a really good coach. It's not a coincidence that you take three separate organizations to a Stanley Cup final. But at some point, you have to change up what you're doing if it's not working. And I think it's very obvious the last 2 months especially that what the Predators were doing is not going to work, was not going to work, and they had to change it. And kudos to David Poile for recognizing that quick enough to where you can still save the season.
Chase, you were on the air a lot last night. You were burning the candles late into the night. Started at 6 o'clock and just kept going. I don't know when you officially got off the air. I don't know. Have you been off the air? Maybe you haven't slept. Maybe you've been up to morning drive.
I got off these airwaves at 9, went over to Fox 17, did some TV to talk about this. So I got in bed around 11:30 then couldn't go to sleep.
I know. I did not sleep well last night either because I knew today, and we're going to find out at 11:45. We're going to hear from David Poile now. We're going to get into in just a moment. It's out there.
They've made it official.
They've put it out there. It was already out there before they made it official. But me and you have talked a lot about this off the air, more off the air than on the air. And I know where you stand, but for people out there listening that don't have a – I mean, what were your impressions yesterday at 5:35 in the afternoon?
Well, I had just walked in my house – and I was kind of getting, you know, just winding down from the day. And then I got the notification on my phone. And on a scale of 1 to holy moly, I was holy moly. Because I didn't think it was going to happen right now. To your point, I felt like that there was a chance it could happen. You know, I thought more towards the end of the season they would ride it out. And David Poile would try and make some roster adjustments. But ultimately, he looked at this team and the talent that they have and realized that they needed a new voice and needed a new message. And so as time kind of went on and I settled in and Ryan and I did Preds Insiders and then I went back to the station and did another show with Justin Bradford, you know, it became apparent to me that maybe this is the right move. And to Robbie's point, Peter Laviolette is a pretty darn good coach. He's done a lot of great things here, a lot of firsts for the franchise that will always be remembered. But as I've used this analogy before, sometimes when you drive by a billboard every day and it doesn't change every day, you forget what the message is. And so I felt like David Poile he looked at it and said, I got to make a move. And I'm sure it was a very difficult decision for him. I'm sure that the conversation he had with Peter Laviolette whenever that took place was tough for him. But ultimately, I think it's going to be the right move for this franchise. You know, I don't know much about John Hines, who is officially the new head coach of the Nashville Predators. But I know there are connections to Jeff Kelty, who's the assistant general manager here. Obviously, he coached in New Jersey with Ray Shiro, who's very close with David Poile. And Tom Fitzgerald. So there always seems to be connections. I mean, if you remember, the connection to Peter Laviolette was USA Hockey, that David Poile and Peter Laviolette had worked together. So with Barry Trotz, it was the Capitals organization. So there's always some connection that David Poile seems to find. We will find out. It didn't look good in New Jersey, but New Jersey has a lot of issues too. I think it's a much more talented team, so we'll see what John Hines can do second time around.
I don't really want to base a lot on New Jersey, but I also, if I'm being open and honest, Robbie, I was not impressed with his work in New Jersey. He was the coach for four full seasons. He was shown the door 26 games into this season.
Yeah.
He had made one playoff appearance. They lost in the first round. They had won one. They lost in five games. You know, the body of work was very so-so. You hear people say nice, good things about him, and that's fine. He'll be 45 next month.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is where I have to just lean on David Poyle and the experts in the front office and say they know better. I don't really know him. All I can tell you is what I saw in New Jersey, I really wasn't that impressed with.
No, I agree. But he's got a – when you talk to people around the league, he's got a very good reputation for being a good coach. I think most people feel like he was given a raw deal in New Jersey because that roster was terrible. Other than Taylor Hall, especially, that roster was very bad. So you accept some of that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like I think this coaching hire is some home run hire. But I also would like to point out that the Predators don't need, like, some hockey savant to come in here and fix them. They have plenty of talent. They need somebody to just fix their system and make them play the right way and maximize the talent. And if you pay attention to the release the Predators put out there just moments ago, that's what stands out to me the most. On two separate occasions, David Poyle says, you know, we love his coaching resume and are confident that he learned from every stop during his career and has the best skill set to get the maximum potential out of our team. He used the word maximum potential, and Hines used a similar phrase in his comments too, looking forward to getting the maximum potential out of this team. So that, to me, that tells you that obviously they didn't feel like they were getting the maximum potential out of Peter Laviolette, and hopefully for their sake, John Hines can do that. But they don't need some guy to come in here and totally just burn everything down and fix everything and build a new roster or anything like that. You just got to maximize what you have, because I think everybody believes what they have is good enough to win.
Oh, it's a talented roster. We know that. But look, no disrespect when I say this. Smith, Bonino, and Grimaldi have been fantastic this year. They have been the most consistent line this team has had all year. That can't be your best line if you expect to make a deep run in the playoffs. It just can't.
No.
I'm sorry. And if it wasn't for them, this team would be in a world of trouble.
Yeah.
So I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. But you pay people to be stars, and stars have to respond. Just like what Dallas got into last year when Sagan and Ben were called out by their front office.
Yeah.
We paid you to be stars. Yes. Take that however you want, right?
Make it
pun intended, pun non-intended, however you want to look at it. We pay you to be elite. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, and
you just happen to play for the Stars. And if we're going to pay you to be elite, you have to be elite, and you have to produce. And that's when kind of their season turned around after those comments were made by the front office. They have people on this roster that are getting paid to be elite. I don't know if they're elite. I mean, they have to – just because you pay somebody to be elite doesn't mean they are elite. But if you make $8 million a year, you have to produce.
Yeah.
Period.
They got two guys that are doing that so far this year. That's Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis. That's it.
That's it.
You need your best
and
players.
And those are your defensemen.
Yeah.
That's your top D pairing.
Yeah.
I hope that comes up today.
Yeah.
I hope somebody brings that up of, listen, you've paid all these guys a ton of money, and quite frankly, they're not living up to those contracts. And
I'm talking about the forwards.
I mean, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, that's it. You can't – I mean, we know
the, Ryan Johansson.
The defensemen. It has to – you are paying forwards to be elite.
Sure. And but, you know, I'll say this. Those forwards are going to be given the benefit of the doubt now that you've made a coaching change that – okay, maybe it was just the system. Now it's on them.
But, right, now that there's been a coaching change, now if it continues to look the same, then there's going to be a new conversation piece.
There absolutely will be. So this is, you know, it's one thing, you know, I mentioned before, I don't think Kyle Turris, Mikael Granlund, Ryan Johansson, all these different guys, Matt Duchene coming in here just all of a sudden forgot how to play hockey. I do think there were some system issues that were taking place. We get 2 months into this and it still looks the same. If you're David Poyle, you got to look around and say, all right, do I have the right group of guys in here? And that's going to be the next step.
This is what it is. It's kind of like if you're at a school and you're struggling, your grades aren't very good, and you tell your mom, like, hey, I just don't like this school, and you switch schools. Well, if your grades go up, then, okay, yeah, it was the school. But if things continue to stay the same, it's on you.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what this is. And there are guys like Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, getting paid a lot of money. I got to see more out of them.
Arvidsson.
Yeah. I mean, and Arvidsson was hurt, and he came
he
back.
He still hasn't been the same, though. He hasn't been the same. And we need to see more out of Arvidsson. We need to see more.
I think Forsberg has another level, too.
He's got to be better than he has been, even though his numbers aren't terrible or anything like that. Granlin, this is your opportunity. Kyle Turris, Granlin, this is your opportunity. Maybe you haven't been used the right way. Fix it. This is
especially
your time now.
Kyle Turris and the fact that so much has been made of the relationship or maybe lack of or a broken relationship between the head coach and Kyle Turris. Well, that's now out of the picture. That's now out of the way. And if it looks the same, then you know exactly where the conversation is going.
Absolutely.
Period.
There's no question.
All right, we will come back with a lot more. John Hines is going to be the new head coach for the Predators. There's going to be a press conference at 11:45 today. We will air that live. We will not have our weekly with David Poile at 11:15 because he's going to do the press conference first, and we can respect that before he makes an appearance on this show. So I'm not sure when his weekly will be this week, but it'll be sometime this week. We'll come back. Robbie, you'll stick around here with us. Robbie Stanley from NHL.com as we sit here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Bridgestone Arena tonight will be the Predators and the Bruins. We'll come back with more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Johnny come lately, the new kid in town.
We're live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Staring at Bridgestone Arena, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe. Willie D will join us a little bit later in the program in the second hour. Robbie Stanley, NHL.com. You have heard the news by now. Peter LaViolette, Kevin McCarthy out, John Hines in. He was the former Devils coach who was relieved of his duties 26 games into this season. He also has a USA Hockey background as well. Just like what we were talking about with Peter LaViolette. Ryan has been waiting patiently, and then I'm going to get into you guys a theory that I've had for a good while.
Yeah, a theory. I like it.
Ryan, what's up?
What's going on, guys? I hope Preds fans aren't expecting a great coach coming because you guys know me. I'm a Devils fan, and this Hines is not that great of a coach like people think he is. He does not know how to develop young talent like people think he really does. He's one-dimensional. He's one set of guys, and that's about as far as his team goes. He doesn't like to roll four lines when he has a chance to roll four different lines. If you're a veteran, he's your type of guy. If you're coming in as a prospect, as in Trennan, Carrier, guy, and Preds fans, if you got mad when LaViolette constantly kept changing up lines, then you're in for a whole new deal.
Well, good news is this is a veteran-laced locker room, so it's not about young guys. It's comprised of basically veterans.
That's it. But the line changing, Preds fans got mad at that. He's going to be changing up lines left and right. You may see OC with Dan Hamhuis one night with the way he coaches.
Okay. All right, Ryan, thank you for the phone call. See you tonight. Clearly, Ryan, not impressed with John Hines.
Well, again.
Just like anybody, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, let him come in here and see what they're all about. Like I said, I'll have to trust David Poile and the experts in the front office that they've made the right decision. He's got a pretty good track record of hiring coaches.
Well, he does. And look,
he's hired almost four decades. Yeah, he's only hired six coaches.
I was trying to be kind earlier. New Jersey's roster sucks.
Yeah.
There's really no in-between. So it's very difficult for me, you know, the line changing, the finding defensemen. That's probably because you're trying to find anything that works when you have a roster like that. It's not going to be the case here. So, again, I'm not saying this is a home run hire. I am just as curious as everybody else to see how this works out. But the Predators do not need a whole lot. They need some structure.
Yep.
They need a new system that maximizes their forwards. And if they get that, the talent on this team is plenty good enough to make a run.
Theory number one. I felt this in the offseason. I have felt it all year. And then, obviously, all this happened. And then you connect even more dots. This is just my personal opinion, the way I have felt since the offseason. I feel like David Poyle approached Peter Laviolette and said, I think you need to shake up your staff a little bit. I think we all know who that staff member is.
Yep.
It's Kevin McCarthy, guy he's been with every step of the way. I think David Poyle was met with resistance. I think Peter basically figured out anything and everything on why that is not a good idea and not a good move. I think he talked David Poyle a lot of it, but David Poyle said, well, fine. If you're not going to make a coaching change, then I'm going to add a coach to your staff. And I think that was the compromise.
Yeah.
David said, okay, you can keep Kevin, but I'm adding a coach to your staff. So that plays out. Then we know the way the season was going. I think then there's another conversation of, I think it's time. They get right. Circle right back around to this conversation again. I think it was met with resistance, and I think at that point there's nowhere else to go. And we've seen this in sports. It's not hockey. It's not just football. It's happened here twice with Mularkey and Munchak, right? I mean, we've seen coaches. Yep. They just have a certain staff member or members that, you know, they're just extremely loyal to. And I understand that, and I can appreciate that. I have no issues with that, but they are willing to go to the mat. They are willing to fall on the sword not to relieve that person of their job.
And remember, McCarthy's been with Laviolette since Carolina to Philadelphia, now to here.
Yeah.
So you're talking,
yeah, they met in Carolina.
They have
a
long history
more than a decade together.
Yeah. They have a long history together. And that's what I believe happened.
No,
I don't have any proof. That's just what I have felt for a while, because a lot of people like myself were surprised nothing happened in the offseason, considering that they were down, ousted in six in the first round, and just the way last year played out. Usually, typically, somebody has to pay the price. You typically don't not do anything and then add. I mean, that's usually not how it works in sports. So I was very surprised. And now, to me, this makes sense. I don't think it's a crazy notion. I'm not saying that did happen, but that's what I believe.
I think there's some validity to that for sure. And look, I was surprised too when no move was made in the off season. Adding the coach, that's not typically what gets done. So maybe that was a compromise from Poyle on this part. Now moving forward, you have to make sure it's the right move. You got to prove it's the right move now, because if we get 2 months into this and the Predators don't look any different, the fan base is going to be irate. I mean, they're not going to be irate because you fired Peter Laviolette, but they're going to want the same thing to happen to John Hines if this doesn't turn around. So that's unfortunately the pressure that they're going to be under. That's what happens when you have a roster that everybody knows is talented, because everybody's seen what this roster is able to do. So there's going to be some pretty serious pressure on John Hines coming in here to get this thing turned around and to get it turned around pretty quickly.
You want to hear theory number two?
Let me comment on this real quick, because to your point on McCarthy, something that stood out to me that I felt like the clock was starting to tick was at the end of last season when Peter Laviolette, and I have the quote, said, ultimately, I'm the one who's responsible. I take the blame for things that don't go well on this team. I'm not running from it. Ultimately, everything runs through me. There's not a meeting or a message that doesn't go on inside this room that is not mine. It's me, and I've got to be better with what I'm doing. I love that a head coach is saying that, but when a head coach says that, you are now, all the swords are pointing at you, and you're going to fall on them. And to your point, if David Poyle approached him and said, hey, it's time, you're making a change, you're going to be parting ways with Kevin McCarthy, with your associate coach, and if Peter looked at him and said no, then that's ultimately what had to happen, that they both had to fall on those swords. But for him to say something like that, and I remember it vividly, it really stood out to me and stuck with me of, okay, here we go. That seat, the temperature, there's a temperature at that point. That's how I looked at it. Now theory number two.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. That's a good point to put out there, that did happen in the end of the year press conference. Okay, this is something else that here's theory / opinion number two. We have Elliot Friedman on the show every Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
Elliot has been telling us the last couple of weeks that David Poyle has been shopping players.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he has not only just thrown that out there, he has cast out names. He's told us Kyle Turris. were in Dallas at the Winter Classic ringside at the Cotton Bowl. He throws out Craig Smith.
Yep.
That was the first time I had heard that one.
Yep.
I think he's thrown out Mikael Granlund.
Yep.
Right? So there's those. I mean, he was willing to even throw out names that David Poile has been actively shopping players. So everybody knows whenever the general manager's done that, they know that there's issues, right? I mean, you can say it's the first half of the season. There's a long ways to go. Everybody also knows that now we're in the second half of the season, okay? So the general manager has identified that there are issues and they need to start trying to fix things, okay? There's a leak and they need to fix this leak, and maybe there's a leak over there and maybe they need to fix that leak too. And I think David Poile, Elliott Freeman is a guy who is tied into the hockey circles and community. Mm-hmm. And he's throwing out names. He's been telling us for weeks that David Poile's been shopping and trying to seek or get feelers on trades. And if David Poile was getting literally nowhere with those calls, people were hanging up or, yep, sorry, not interested. Sorry, David, love you. That's your problem. Click. Getting nowhere, I think maybe that's when – because that means for now, you're stuck.
Yeah.
If you've made the calls and made the rounds and you're getting literally nowhere, you're not even getting a nibble, or it's things that are insulting back at you. Like, yeah. Sure, we'll do it if you pay the rest of their contract and, you know, just silly stuff. Yeah. And he knows that now, for now at least, this is what they're rolling with. I think that's when maybe things took a turn, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe the initial thought was, we got to fix this roster-wise.
Yep.
If you're stuck with the roster, then maybe this thing shifts to, well, then somebody's got to maximize this roster. If this is what we're rolling with, then somebody has – it doesn't look like – as you said, your words, stuck in the mud, I think that's a pretty fair analogy at times. It definitely looks stuck in the mud. Too much of, you know, that – 5, 8, 10 minute window where things just
unravel.
Fall apart, unravel, goes completely off the road, then maybe that's when the conversation turned to, well, if we can't make a move roster-wise,
yeah,
then with some people that we believe that maybe we could move and get another, this person in here, if that's not in the cards right now, then maybe we have to examine something else.
Yeah, it certainly could be, and I'll say this, I'll add to that. How many times this year after a loss have we heard, hey, this is a wake-up call for us?
Right.
You know, after about 6 or 7 times, you're like, okay, when is the wake-up call? Well, let me tell you this. If this doesn't serve as a wake-up call, the next step is, all right, do we have the right leadership in the room? Do we have the right players in the room? Because if you don't respond to this, what are you going to respond to? And that's what I'm interested to see out of the players moving forward. You've talked about the wake-up calls, and I understand most of that comes after a post-game press conference, and they're looking to say – whatever they think they need to say and get out of there, especially after
sure.
they lose. And that's fine. That's just how it is. But now, if this is not truly one of those wake-up calls, then you got to start looking in that locker room being like, all right, we got to shake this thing
this
up.
This is a DNA issue.
Yeah, this is a DNA issue.
Yeah, you got to look at yourself in the mirror. Here's the thing, and I said this last night when this all came out. Peter Laviolette is a part of the blame.
Yeah.
David Poile is a part of the blame. Every player in that locker room has a part of the blame.
Sure.
Everybody has to take their part. And the easiest scapegoat or the person that has to take it and loses his job is usually always the head coach, especially in a situation like this where Poile has been here for so long. He's had success. I mean, this is his decision to make. But now it's got to change. And if things don't change, and I don't know exactly what the timetable is, then there are going to be other conversations. And that's just a part of this, and we all know that. But I believe – in Darren's theory that, okay, he tried to shop some players. I believe he will still continue to shop players. But now you kind of need to let it marinate and see what John Hines can do. Give it a few weeks, give it a month, see how it turns around. And if you start to see improvement, then okay, you know what needed to change, and now the players are responding. And again, it may not have been all of Peter Laviolette's fault or the system. It just the message was stale. And so you've now changed that up. But I think everybody, including, you know, from the top down, are looking at themselves in the mirror this morning going, okay, well, now my clock is ticking.
If they're not, you've got a problem.
Yeah. I think everybody has temperature in their seat at this point.
Let's go down to the borough. John, you're up next. Welcome in.
Well, guys, I'm going to kind of stick with the nautical theme since we were talking about leaks. Hines is a steadying the ship type of hire. Somebody said that about the Devils. The Devils are a burn the boats and start over. But Predators aren't there. So whatever Hines can do to steady, right the ship, get us moving the direction, you know, we need to be going, I'm all for that. And, again, I don't have enough of a bio or enough of a history of the guy to know. I know the one guy called up and said, you know, the guy stinks. But I think we watch and see. And, again, it's just like when we pick up a player midseason. Doesn't mean we're married to him. Doesn't mean we're keeping them all. You know, we're going to sign him to bigger deals. And the other thing is, I appreciate Lavio. That is he's a class act. We had a good time with him here, and he did a lot of great things. Again, as I said before, Predators now are expected to be a next-tier type of team. And when you have those huge expectations, you know, as big as they are, that tells you a big fall when we don't accomplish it. So you guys got a great discussion. Again, I appreciate you, and you guys take care. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. We'll come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase here live at Pete and Terry's Tavern on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yesterday, I was up before the dawn, and I really have enjoyed my stay.
I'll give this to Elijah. He's been killing it.
Yeah, he has.
By the way, the Teron Davenport video yesterday got quite the views.
Oh yeah,
on social media.
Teron's oh, the dance.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought you meant his breakdown, but yeah, his breakdown. TD breaking it down.
Yeah.
With his dance.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. Willie Donick will join us in the second hour of the program. David Poyle, expect to meet with the media at 11:45 to talk about yesterday afternoon's move of relieving Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy of their coaching duties. John Hines is in as the new man for the Predators. The Predators have hit the ice. Currently, right now, at Morning Skate, Matt Duchene has missed the last couple of games in Southern California with an illness. He was back out on the ice this morning, so that is good news to hear that Dante Fabbro and Nick Bonino were absent from Morning Skate, so I'm not sure what that means. We know Fabbro was dealing with an upper body injury. He also did not play in the two games in Southern California, and that is news on Nick Bonino. I'm not sure what's going on with him, but in about an hour, a little bit more than an hour, we will find out exactly what took place. What did you make of some of the stuff I threw out in the last segment?
Well, I
know it's not far-fetched.
No, you're not off. I mean, I don't think you're off at all. I remember, I believe it was on Morning Drive, Peter Laviolette early in the year came on and he said something to the effect of there was a change presented that I wasn't comfortable with and in the off season. And when he said that, my mind immediately went to, he was probably asked about relieving Kevin McCarthy of his duties. That's where my mind went, or some sort of coaching change, but I didn't think it was Dan Muse. And so he said, you know, part of the changes we made was we added, and it was important to add and not subtract, and add Dan Lambert. And so that's what they did. I feel like that there was probably a conversation between David Poyle and Peter Laviolette that was like, okay, listen, we'll give him another chance. We'll keep it. But if this doesn't improve, then there's going to be a move. You're going to have to make a move, or I'm going to have to make a move. It's one of those situations of don't make me make the decision for you. And I feel like that's kind of where it got. So, I hope at some point Peter Laviolette, we hear from him. I would love to hear his side because I think it's important to hear both sides of the story. But at the same time, you know, while I mean, Peter Laviolette was my first head coach that I really got to cover. Barry Trotz was, you know, right at the beginning of my career. So I've gotten to know him more since he's been gone than when he was the head coach. And so, you know, I had a good relationship with Peter, but I can also sit here and tell you that I feel like it was time for a new voice. If you weren't going to be able to change some of the guys in the room, then changing the voice is the next best thing. And We'll see if it works. And I think for David Poyle, you know, he's in win now mode. There were a lot of names being floated out last night.
If there's anything we know that.
Yes, but this is what people need to realize, and I think some do and some don't. David Poyle is closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning. He wants a Stanley Cup. It is the only thing he has left to do in his illustrious Hall of Fame career is win a Stanley Cup. He doesn't want to have to go through blowing it up and rebuilding. So you have to do whatever's possible to try and win now, because this roster is capable of winning it now. They have the talent. They just have to put it all together. Some of the names that were being thrown out as head coach, Mike Fisher. People, I love Mike Fisher. He is a great human being. He is not a coach. He has never coached. He has zero coaching experience. Why would you hand over the reins of a team that is in win now mode to a recently retired player that, oh, by the way, is still very close to this locker room? I don't think that's a good move. Phil Housley is under contract with the Arizona Coyotes. And I know everybody loved Phil Housley. I think he got a raw deal in Buffalo. Don't think it's the right fit. Just don't. Don't think it's the right fit here. Barry Trotz is not leaving the New York Islanders to come back. So you also have to look at the pool that's available when you make an in-season firing.
Which, too bad he's not out there.
I know.
Readily available.
I know. But you have to look at the pool that's available when you make an in-season move like this. There weren't a lot available. Now, I had thrown out Peter DeBoer. I thought Peter DeBoer would be a good fit. Recently fired by San Jose. That was my top choice. But John Hines has the connections to Jeff Kelty. Obviously, David Poyle has the connections with Ray Shiro and Tom Fitzgerald, so he was able to get good feedback from them. So I'm going to trust his judgment. I'm not going to ignore his tenure with the New Jersey Devils, but I'm also not going to base my complete judgment on that, because the roster wasn't very good. This one is a lot better.
I will say this. For what we've talked about the first 43 minutes of this show, this Tuesday edition of Darren Donick and Chase, on a day like today, for a general manager like David Poyle, who's been at this for almost four decades, who you could say is the model of being patient, right? I mean, there's nobody, I don't think, maybe in the business, forget just hockey, any sports business that's been more patient than David Poyle. He has had quite the run with coaches. I do not believe, because of everything we've talked about and because of what's on the line here, I hope John Hines realizes he's going to be on a short leash. Like, he's going to have to get this turned around. I don't think patience is in the cards of, well, hey, in a couple years, you just wait. Well, I don't think that's what this is about. He's going to need to come in and make an impact right away, because this is about changing things right now. This is not about the future. It's not about next season or the season after that, whenever Dante Fabbro is older and, you know, these guys are more seasoned. No. He's going to have to come in here and change this around right now.
Here's a question that I'm going to need answered today, because it hasn't been answered. It's not in the release. Is he the interim or is he the head coach? I mean, is this a rest of the season thing?
He's the head coach. Okay. Typically, interim is somebody on staff. If it was Lambert, he's the interim.
Was Berube on staff?
He was the interim. Yes.
Well, I know, but he was an assistant?
Yes.
Okay. For some reason, I didn't think he was.
What's going on right now in Dallas?
Right. He's the interim.
Bonus. He's
right, because he was on staff. He was on staff, right there. But I mean, I want to know what the length of the contract. I mean, is this a –
It says the team has named John Hines as the third head coach in franchise history.
I understand that, but how long will – I mean, how long's the contract?
Well, we'll probably – I don't know if we will find that out at 11:45. Usually, typically, they don't do that. So, all I know is there's no mention of interim anywhere. So, he is the head coach.
Well, I wonder what the timetable is, you know, to your point, of how long does he have to turn this around? Is it a year? Is it the rest of the season?
In fairness, I don't think it really matters, because Peter Laviolette had just signed a new deal not that long ago. How many more years did he have left on the contract?
It was end of next season.
End of next season?
Yeah.
It was up?
So he had a season and a half left.
Season and a half?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought there was actually two and a half.
No, according to Adam Vingan's report in The Athletic, he had It was the end of next season.
I'm just saying that more times than not, does it really matter, right?
No.
If you don't feel like it's working, you're going to make a move. It's just like we had this notion, right, in college football, but have you seen the buyout?
Yeah.
No way they're going to
matter.
Yeah, right. Please. If they don't believe in this guy, they're going to buy you out.
Yeah. Here's another example.
Ask Willie Taggart. Ask Les Miles. Ask all these guys that had huge buyouts.
Right.
And they went bye-bye.
You can probably give more examples than I can, but with people looking at John Hines going, he has a losing record, and – you know, this. What is this? It wasn't very good in New Jersey, and I know it's a different sport, but a lot of people scoffed when the Yankees hired Joe Torre because he didn't have a very good record. He was not successful as a manager in his previous stops. Braves, Cardinals, I think maybe the Mets were in there too. He goes to the Yankees, and what happens? Now, they had a loaded roster. They had a great farm system, and he was able to take those players and win with them. That's what John Hines is going to have the opportunity to do here.
We will come back, and we'll touch on that a little bit more on the other side to close up shop on the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back around Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday morning. David Poile will speak to the media at 11:45. We will carry that press conference live. Willie Donick will join us a little bit later in the second hour of the program. Kevin Joe 9182 tweets at us, if you get very little practice time during the season, how can a coaching change midseason make such a big difference in how a team plays? Okay, fair question, Kevin. Kind of going back to what you said earlier, there are examples littered of every, we could cover every angle of,
yeah,
it worked this way, it worked, it looked like right now, like our best example is St. Louis, right? Craig Berube.
Yep.
It all changed. They're the worst team in hockey. We all know the story now. They won the Stanley Cup. Pittsburgh, it's happened twice, right?
Right.
Sutter in L.A. took over.
Yep.
And took them to a Stanley Cup, won a Stanley Cup twice with them. So there are examples of it working. There are plenty of examples where it's littered with coaching change and nothing happens. Like right now, Bob Bugner. We like the boogeyman.
Sure.
He has taken over for Peter DeBoer in San Jose, and the Sharks, nothing's really changed. Fair?
Yeah.
Nothing's really changed.
No.
New Jersey, nothing's really changed.
Nope.
With Hines. Okay, so there's examples of things changing.
But what's the big difference there with those two teams and this one?
Well, this team is way more talented.
Exactly. I didn't think San Jose's roster was anything to write home about.
Well, San Jose's obviously they've been on an incredible run for
right.
a long time. Joe Thornton's getting really old.
Pavelski left.
Pavelski's in Dallas.
Yep.
Those were huge hits. I mean, they lost some key guys.
Right.
Donskoy. Those guys are gone. And so some key elements to a lot of their success, especially Pavelski. My goodness.
Yeah.
When you think Sharks, you have to think about Pavelski, right? And he's gone. He's in Dallas, and I get it. He's older, but still, he was a core piece. I just think this team is more talented. So to his point of what will change, well, I don't know. We're about to find out.
Right.
Maybe the answer is nothing. But here's the deal: I think through 41 games, it was enough. And considering last season, it was enough to say that's a year and a half where it's kind of looked the same. And you brought in a guy like Matt Duchene. You gave him a big deal. Not what was going to change keeping status quo, too. That's fair to say as well. So what was going to change if we're sitting here today on a normal Tuesday, January 6th, and we're talking about the Predators and the Bruins, and
right.
they got 3 or 4 points in Southern California. They had lost three games prior to that, you know, what was going to change status quo? I don't know. I mean,
it was still just going up and down, up and down, up and down. And as I said yesterday, you know, I'm tired of being satisfied 3 out of 4 points. I'm tired of being, you know, you just played the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. You should beat both of them. They're not good. You should beat both of those teams. You're better than them. And you got 3 out of a possible 4. And that 1 point that you got out of Anaheim, you were lucky to get. because you played like absolute crap in the first period, and somehow it was 1-1 going into the second. And then special teams show their ugly head, and you know, you give up power play goals and all of that. So taking too many penalties, playing undisciplined hockey, those were the things that were frustrating and where you needed to have a change. And, I mean, it was – in some ways I feel bad for Peter Laviolette because I feel like he was trying to make it – you know, trying to fix it, but they just weren't listening. That's just kind of what it got to. And so can John Hines get through to these guys and fix it? We're about to find out. And, by the way, his first game as head coach is not easy. They're going against one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Roman Josi, the captain, just saying downstairs to reporters, it was a shock to everyone. It's a wake-up call for us players. That coming from Roman Josi right now in the room as the team is wrapping up morning skate. Yeah, they're going to have their hands full. This is a really, really nasty Boston Bruins team. We'll sneak one call in and call it an hour.
And load them up because I know you're going downstairs. Yep. So I want to hear from Preds fans, 615-737-1025, if you want to load them up. We'll take those calls on the next segment.
Let's go up to Portland. Adam, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
We got you.
Oh, okay, man, cool. All right, so check this out. Yesterday morning, I hollered at my buddy. He's a huge diehard Nashville Predators fan. And I walked in, and I'm like, man, are you happy that we got a point in that game? He's like, well, it's pretty much the season. Like, you get behind almost every game, or you get a big lead and you relinquish a lead. That's just who this team is. And I'm like, well, even if we squeak into the playoffs, man, we're going to get blasted in the playoffs. There's no way what we were doing, we were going to sustain anything. So as soon as I say that, we swap coaches, which is so crazy to me. But good job, Lobby, for doing what you did here in Nashville, man. You made Nashville a serious hockey town. So I have nothing bad to say about that, man. I guess the change needed to happen, but I have nothing bad to say about that, man. It just it dried up. They needed something different.
Well said. Thank you for the phone call. Look, I will continue to say this, and I mean it. It's the same deal with PK Subban. Don't bash them on the way out. Thank them.
Yeah.
Okay? I know a lot of you were frustrated with PK Subban at the end. PK Subban did a lot of good for this market, this franchise, this fan base, this community. Do not get mad, okay? I know a lot of people were so happy when he was traded, and that's fine. I mean, you could say that his time had come to an end here, and that's okay. But don't try to erase or diminish the 3 years here. Those 3 years were really good. The 5.5 years with Peter Laviolette, same deal. It may have been time.
Those,
you know what?
Those banners hanging in there?
It took till year what? 20 and 21? 19 and 20? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's been more than 2 decades now this franchise has been here before they won a division title.
Right.
They've gone back-to-back division titles. Okay, they won a President's Trophy. That had never been done. They made a run to the Stanley Cup Final. Of course we know that had never been done. Hell, they had never been out of the second round. And so we know in that run, that happened. So same deal. Do not. It may have been time. And I know a lot of you were screaming for a coaching change. Well, you got it.
Yeah.
But don't diminish the 5.5 years of Peter Laviolette here. It's been really good. There's been a whole lot of winning. Oh, by the way, how many times were we talking the second week in April about the hockey playoff, about the Stanley Cup playoffs that the Predators weren't in on his watch? Zero. The answer, zero. They were in the playoffs every year. So just like PK Subban, same with Peter Laviolette, it may have been time, but do not try to diminish the time here. It was well served. A lot of good came out of both scenarios, and people should be thankful. And now we'll just see what John Hines has in the cards. All right, that will do it for hour number one. We'll come back. More coverage here from Pete and Terry's Tavern on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.